Welcome to Mosaic Wealth Partners in 8 Minutes or Less. I'm Eric Jaffe and I'm here with Chris Williams. In today's episode, we're going to discuss the different sectors that make up the S&P 500. Chris, in prior episodes, we've referred to various sectors of the S&P without diving deeper into what these are or how they can be relevant. Let's start today by breaking down the sectors themselves. How many are there and what are they?
Yeah, so let's just get numbers out here. There are officially in the S&P subsectors, so S&P 500, there are 11 sectors. I'll read them right out. Consumer discretionary, consumer staples, energy, financials, real estate, healthcare, industrials, materials, technology, utilities, and communication services.
Do we typically see divergent performance amongst the different sectors in any given year?
Yeah, I mean, we focus on, well, the S&P is down 10 or it's up 15, but these components are really what's driving that performance. We're in 2022, let's talk about this year. You know, right now, year to date, you've got energy leading at 48.13%, 48.13. That's a huge year. But on the flip side, communication services are down 29.6%. So right there, that's over a 75% divergence between just two of the sectors. They're definitely going in different directions. And that happens, you know, in year to year, in any given year, several of the sectors will do well and several will be way on the other side of the spectrum.
Do we often see the same sectors staying towards the best performer or worst performer category for periods longer than a year at a time?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, information technology in 2017, 18, 19, and 20 was first, fourth, first, and first in terms of performance in those years. On the other side, you have energy in 2017 as the second worst performer. And then 18, 19, and 20, it was the absolute worst performer all 3 years.
You know, we just finished a three-part series on mega caps, and in that podcast, we talked about how a small number of stocks could make up a substantial portion of the broader index. Do we find the same thing happening with these sectors, where you possibly have one of 11 sectors, let's say the tech sector, but that sector itself is a more substantial portion of the broader index?
Yes, absolutely. You know, a sector that's 15 to 20% versus one that's 2 to 5, again, in good times, it's not just doing better, it's doing much better because there's a multiplier. It's a larger portion of your pie. And when it's not doing as well, it's dragging performance even more because of the size disparity. And there are large size disparities between the sectors that we've outlined in the S&P.
And I think the kind of inverse of that is you talk about how well energy has done, but we've also alluded in prior podcasts to the fact that the energy sector is not as big a part of the S&P as it once was. So even if that sector is having a year where it's up almost 50%, that may not be moving the needle as much for the broader index.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, which is why in any investment strategy and any fund and anything that you're looking at, you want to see, you know, what's the percentage of ownership. So for you to actually benefit from energy this year, you would have to own more than, you know, the starting point of 2% that energy represented in order to offset some of the other sectors' underperformance. And that's, you know, either personal decision or advisor decision or however you come up with that, you have to at least understand that's what's going to drive performance more than just the diversification itself.
Given that certain sectors, such as energy, make up less of the overall index, and as you point out, you would need to own a higher percentage of these sectors in order for their outperformance to have a real effect on your overall return, isn't there a concern that you could be too early to the party in owning and overweighting these particular sectors?
True. You never know exactly when. I mean, that's the first rule of investing. However, there's two points here. One is we have years and years of data where two indices or sectors diverge and converge at certain rates. For example, the utilities versus the S&P 500 has a strong history that when the two of them are 20% apart, so let's just say the S&P goes up 30 and utilities only 10, they're now 20% differential there. Utilities will tend to come back and close that Pac-Man gap on those two charts. Now, that could be where both go lower. Utilities may go back to zero, and the S&P performance might go back up 5, but that's a win from that point on. So we have a little bit of a timing mechanism that we can look at some historical patterns. The second is, you know, energy has diverged years ago, and it did not come back. So folks would say, well, is that just a losing trade? You shouldn't have done that. Sometimes that's true, but if you actually look at the percentage of energy, which was so low that the 2% kept dropping to 1%, your other sectors over the past 7-8 years have done well. And if you had continuously rebought energy up to wherever you wanted it, it would have performed well enough this year to cover a lot of those losses in the other sectors.
So essentially, there's an element of having some patience and allowing some of your sector-specific decisions to really come to fruition as long as there was a reasonable foundation for making the decision in the first place.
Exactly. Sometimes you just have to let the program run. And it may take a little longer, but it proves out in the end more often than not.
Great point. I think there's another way to deal with this issue as well, though, right? And that's using something we discussed in our mega cap series, equal weighted indices as opposed to cap weighted indices. The equal weighted index doesn't always work as well, such as when the larger sectors are outperforming. But can you give a brief refresher on these and explain how the equal weighted indices might solve the problem when smaller sectors are otherwise outperforming but not contributing as much to the index's overall return?
Right. Equal weight. We said there's 11 sectors. So if each had, let's say, 9%, that's 99, not 100, but close enough. If each of these were 9% of your large cap portfolio, as opposed to what they are, as we said in our mega cap, where technology is so big, it's essentially 22%, and energy is very small, and it's 4. So in an equal weight, each one would be 9, right? So energy is far higher in your equal weight investment than it is in just the normal S&P. So that takes the guesswork out of it. Say, I don't know which sector is going to outperform, but I want an equal weight basis because I know that these large sectors have continuously outperformed, and that's just not sustainable over time. So the equal weight is the way just to push the button and say, we're just going to own them all equally, and we think that's the best way to do it in this environment.
That makes a lot of sense. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us on In 8 Minutes or Less. Please tune in next time when Chris and I have a more in-depth discussion of one of these S&P sectors, the banking sector. We look forward to you joining us then.